about this prophecy, and I want to review it a bit today because this auspicious date is less than a year away now, and I think a review for context is timely, particularly as we begin a new year and we're still carrying the energy of setting intention, you know, for the future. So my hope is that by learning about this prophecy, it'll help to bring clarity and motivate us to set appropriate intentions aligned with the cosmic and the natural world for the highest good of all. So I remember exactly where I was when I first heard about this prophecy. I was living in a one-room studio apartment on the Upper West Side of Manhattan back in 1979. I was 20 years old. I was smoking a cigarette and drinking another cup of coffee, which was the standard diet of aspiring actresses at the time, the occasional donut and bagel. But there I was when I read an article that the ancient Mayan long count calendar was going to come to an end on the winter solstice in 2012, you know, which seemed like forever into the future. And I also remember bursting into tears when I read this and not knowing why. You know, my soul recognized that something important and true was in this information, but it had no context in my current life. I mean, I was already into the mysteries a little. I was reading tarot cards. I was aware that my spiritual sensibilities were not the usual fare. But, you know, theater was my god at the time. And I was looking only so far into the future as to when I would walk up to receive my Tony Award. So I look back now and I see with 2020 hindsight that that moment that I learned about this prophecy was a life-changing moment. Because although I continued on in that career throughout the 80s and even into the early 90s, my consciousness was awakened to a bigger picture, a cosmic understanding of what was coming in the future. And once you know something, especially something that hits you so viscerally, you can't unknow it. I mean, we can be in denial, but that's not the same as unknowing something, right? And I admit to feeling very fearful upon learning about this prophecy. You know, in typical 20-year-old consciousness, I was so identified with my personal goals that the idea that something else, something way bigger than my own will, might determine a different future for me just kind of shook me to my core. Not to mention, I read the words, end of the long count calendar, and took that to mean, like many others, the end of the world. If anything, it made me even more determined to get that Tony, because time is running out. That was 33 years ago. Holy Hecate, that was a long time. And I never did get that Tony, but somehow I managed to survive into a very satisfying and fulfilling life. And speaking of Tony Awards and show business, I thought it might interest you to know that Kelly Sanderbeck, who's our singer today, who we just sang that beautiful song together, we were in the musical Camelot with Richard Harris back in the day, back in 1987 to be exact. And how wonderful it is 25 years later to be singing together again. Very sweet. So anyway, back to prophecy. Thank you very much. So anyway, back to the prophecy. So anchoring this prophecy on our beautiful planet, the Mayans, one of the indigenous cultures who live close to the Earth, while calculating the depths and vastness of the heavens above them, lived in Central America, which is what is now Guatemala. And before electricity kept the nights lit, and before smog and pollution clouded our view, the stars and the planets and their movements in the sky were much more visible, and therefore the primary form of visual entertainment. Right? They didn't tune into the TV and look at the sky. The Mayans were a spiritual people, as all indigenous tribes are, and their connection to the natural world and the heavens was experienced in a spiritual context, every day and every night. They knew they were not separate from the world around them. They knew that they were an integral part of the universe, whereas we tend to think that we are separate, that it's all going on out there, but it really doesn't affect me. Anyway. So here are some scientific and astronomical facts about where we are in the universe. This universe of ours, which burst on the scene, according to deep space scientists, approximately 14 billion years ago. That's Big Bang Theory, 14 billion years ago. And our galaxy in this universe is called the Milky Way, and we named it that because it is a great swath of swirling clouds and gases that from our vantage point on Gaia looks like the great cosmic mother poured her mother's milk across the universe to give us nourishment. And within this great Milky Way, we orbit our sun along with many other planets and moons and asteroids, each orbiting in their own pace and at their own rhythm. And we call that our solar system because it is constellated around our sun. And this is where the principle of gravity plays a huge part, because the gravitational pull of these planets and moons keeps them in orbit. It is the force that keeps us from flying out of orbit and sailing out into a vast sea of unending space, or probably more correctly, being drawn into the sun, which sounds, you know, really hot. So gravity remains the stabilizing force merely in relation to the expansion of the universe. If the universe stops expanding, the power of gravity collapses, right? Kind of like our consciousness. If it stops expanding, we're going to collapse. The Milky Way is an active galaxy, and our solar system moves rhythmically above and below a galactic plane, also called the galactic equator of the Milky Way. So this is how we describe it. Here's the Milky Way, right? And in the center is the galactic plane, like an equator. And the entire solar system moves above and below that galactic equator. So first, we're on the Earth, which rotates, right? And that's day and night. And then we rotate as we're going around the sun. So that's year after year. And then the entire thing goes up and down. So we're like, well, we're something like that.